Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Mark 11, verse 23. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Wouldn't you like to speak with such authority that every time you do so, the mountain moves? Amen. Jesus doesn't say you have to move the mountain, but it will be moved for you. Well, this morning we're going to talk about exercising the authority that God has given you. And this is a good subject for today because on Palm Sunday, we celebrate the time when Jesus entered triumphantly into Jerusalem. And one of the things that even the crowd and even those who opposed him recognized was that he was a man of great authority. And he spoke with authority. Where do you get this authority from? The Pharisees asked him. And the people said, this is like a new teaching, but with authority. They recognized that Jesus spoke with an authority that their ordinary rabbis and teachers didn't have. And of course, the significant thing of Palm Sunday was although the disciples had come to recognize that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, prior to that event, it was then that he was welcomed into Jerusalem as the king, as Messiah. And the crowd were shouting out those great things, Hosanna in the highest, praising Jesus as he came in. And of course, that caused even more problems for the Pharisees because they were always jealous of Jesus. And now they were outraged that he should be recognized by the people generally as the Messiah. So that authority which he had been exercising all the way through his ministry was there in his... I've got some music up here joining me. Do you think you could turn that off? Right, okay. Jesus had been exercising that authority all the way through his ministry, the way he healed the sick, even raised the dead, as well as the authority with which he spoke, because of who he was. He had authority because the Father had given him authority. Said, all authority and in heaven and on earth has been given to me, he said. So he had authority and he was able to exercise that authority. Now it's clear in his relationship with the disciples that what he wanted to do was to raise them up to be men of authority. And that this is what he wanted of all his followers, of all those who were going to be disciples, whether men or women. And he said to them on one occasion, didn't he? I have given you authority over all the power of the evil one, and nothing will harm you. And here in that verse that we've just read, he's telling all believers, not just his disciples, but all believers, well, when you pray, you need to speak with authority to the problem that you're praying against. And when you speak to that problem, it will be removed. Now, you might have tried to do that, and on some occasions it seems to have worked. Perhaps on some occasions it doesn't seem to have worked. And that is evidence that what we all need is to speak with greater and greater authority, to be able to exercise more and more of the authority that God has given us. Would you like to do that? Okay, well, I'm going to talk to you this morning of the seven bases upon which you exercise authority as a Christian. Not as a leader, but as a Christian. There are seven principles. If you've got a pen and paper, it would be good to jot these things down so that you can recall them. Actually, keep them in your Bible, and when you're praying, every now and again, just go through them to make sure that these principles, these foundations of your authority are in place. Because the more these seven things are operating in your life, the more authority you will have. The more authority when you pray, the easier you will be able to exercise authority over the devil. The more authority you will have in coming against sickness, the more authority you will see in the problems that confront you being removed. Hallelujah. So if you're interested in any of those things, I suggest that you listen. Right, now, the principle number one, your authority comes from your position in Christ. Now, Jesus had the authority that he had because of his position. Son of God, Messiah, the Christ. And so we have authority because of our position. And when you were born again, when you surrendered your life to Jesus, God took hold of your life and put you into Christ. That's teaching that you hear a lot about here at Kingdom Faith because it's absolutely key to what it means to live the Christian life. So when you exercise authority, you exercise it from the position that you have. So you are exercising that authority even when you pray as one who is in Christ. And because his authority is supreme, when you exercise authority in Christ, you're exercising his supreme authority. It's through your life, but it's his supreme authority. You know, we could talk all morning just upon that one, but I want to give you the overview of all seven of these things. So you exercise authority from the position that God has given you. Secondly, you exercise authority from your submission to him. You see, Jesus had authority as the Son of God, but while he was here on earth, he had to live in submission to the Father. And he made it very clear that he could not do anything by himself, that everything he did was in submission to the Father. I haven't come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I speak no words of my own, only the words my Father gives me to speak. I do only what I see my Father doing. So all these miracles and things that Jesus was performing were really the work of the Father through the Son. And they were possible for Jesus to do because he was submitted to the authority of his Father. So first, you see, your authority comes out of your position in Christ, just as his authority came from the fact that he is the Christ. Then secondly, your authority comes out of your submission to Christ, just as his authority came out of his submission to the Father. Understanding? So the same principles that were operating in Jesus will operate in you. Then thirdly, our authority comes from the commission that Jesus has given us to pray in his name, to speak in his name, and to act in his name. And there are many scriptures, of course, that talk about what we are to do in his name. Whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him, says Paul. So in everything, we can actually exercise the authority of God, because to do something in his name is to do it in his person. It's to do it on his behalf. If you're asked to do something in the name of someone, it's because they have sent you to do it and to has given you the authority. An example of this that I often use, if you went into my bank and said to the cashier, please give me £1,000 out of Pastor Colin's account, I trust that they wouldn't give you a penny. If you said, well, he has sent me, I've come in his name, and I'd like £1,000, I trust they still wouldn't give you, because you're using my name, but actually I haven't really sent you. But if you present a check which I have signed for £1,000 and you present it to them, they will give you the £1,000, so long as they think you aren't money laundering these days. But you see, that check actually verifies the fact that you have been sent in my name to withdraw £1,000 from my account. We getting it?
Yes.
So God has written down for us, hasn't given us a check, but he's given us his word, that if we fulfill that word, if we put what he says we are to do in his name, then his authority stands behind what we do. So you can use the name of Jesus in prayer and it still not be effective. But if you pray truly in the name of Jesus, because this is what God is telling you to pray, then that prayer will be effective. If you speak in the name of Jesus, that means you're not just using his name, but he is giving you what to say. If you act in the name of Jesus, his life, his power, his love, his presence is active in what you're doing. So, just as Jesus did everything in the name of the Father and therefore for the glory of the Father, so we can do everything in the name of Jesus, and when we do that, we have his authority. It's what he wants. It's what he's telling us to do. So that's the third thing. We have our position in Christ, our submission to him, the commission he gives us to pray, to speak, to act in his name. Then fourthly, the anointing of the Spirit of God gives you authority. Because that anointing enables you to actually pray, speak, and act in the name of Jesus. So it's not just you praying or you speaking or you acting, but the Holy Spirit in you. So we're told to pray at all times in the Spirit. That's not just speaking in tongues all the time. It means that the Spirit of God is praying through us. Now, if the Spirit of God is speaking to that mountain through you, it's going to move. Because the mountain cannot withstand the Spirit of God. It can withstand you, but it can't withstand the Spirit of God who is in you. So if we're exercising the authority of the Spirit, then that mountain is going to be moved. Amen? So you can see how all these things work together to enable us to be the people of authority God calls us to be. And then the fifth foundation, if you like, or principle of being able to, that lies behind being able to exercise the authority of God, is our loving obedience to his word. You see, to say that Jesus is Lord means that he is the ultimate authority. Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, yet do not do what I say? In other words, if I am truly your Lord, you will do what I say, because you will recognize my authority. If you don't do what I say, then you don't really recognize me as your Lord. You might call me Lord, but You don't recognize me as your Lord. Why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So disobedience to the word of God doesn't take our authority away, but it makes it impossible for us to exercise that authority. Are you there? It's simply because that disobedience means that we're not at that moment in time in right relationship with God. Therefore, he cannot exercise his authority through us. I want you to understand that it's not your authority. Nobody has any authority of their own. All authority, according to Scripture, belongs to God. And all that authority is therefore exercised in his name through those to whom he gives it. It's an imparted authority. It's something that comes from God. So because it's not your authority, but his authority in you, you need to be in right relationship with him to be able to exercise that authority in the way that he desires. Are we getting this? So, therefore, it's not slavish obedience, legalistic obedience, but loving obedience out of love for him, that we obey his word out of that relationship of love with him. We therefore are walking at one with him, and because we walk at one with him, with his will, with his purpose, we can exercise his authority. Are you at the same meeting that I'm at? I'm having a good time up here. You see, what this means in practice is if you speak to the mountain because it's the will of God for you to speak to that mountain, it will inevitably move. But if you're not doing something, I mean, if what you're doing is not in obedience to him and in submission to him and in relationship to him, then the jolly mountain will stay there. He's given us all authority over all the power of the enemy. But the enemy laughs at us if we're in a place of disobedience. Why? Because the enemy is always in a place of disobedience. And he's saying, well, why should I listen to you if you are not submitted to the lordship of Jesus, just as I'm not submitted to the lordship of Jesus? You understanding? But when he comes up against someone, when the enemy comes up against someone that is in submission, in obedience to Jesus, he flees. This is why the scripture says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, so many Christians, they quote two-thirds of that. They say, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. No. Read the whole verse. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You see, be in that right relationship, that humble submission to the authority of God, then you can exercise authority in his name. You can speak to the mountain and it will move, because you're living in that loving obedience to him and therefore to his word. Are we getting this? Okay, number six, your walk of faith. It isn't that we can suddenly switch on authority because we have a need and we're going to speak in prayer to a particular situation. Our whole relationship with God is a relationship of love, that loving obedience to him, but it's also a relationship of faith. So just before that verse that I quoted from Mark 11, Jesus said, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go through you. So you see, that exercise of speaking to the mountain comes out of a relationship of faith with God. And that's why Jesus says, when you speak to it, you must believe in your heart. In other words, your trust is in the Lord. Your trust is in his word. You have faith in your heart that that mountain will surely be moved because you know you're speaking in relationship to God, with the authority of God, with the power of God, with the anointing of His Spirit. Are we getting this? And then number 7, Jesus says that the kingdom of God is not over here or over there, but the kingdom is within you. And the kingdom is the sovereign rule and reign of God. And why should God have put His kingdom within you? Because what He wants is for you to exercise His sovereign rule and reign over situations that are not submitted to Him. He wants you to establish that kingdom, rule, and reign. So, what is the mountain? It's something that's opposing you because it's opposing the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ. And God says, I don't want anything opposing my rule in your life. Get that out the way. Speak to it and command it to go. I have given you kingdom authority to do that. I have put my reign, my sovereign rule in your life to enable you to do that so you can reign over those adverse circumstances that are not my will for you. So, you have great authority. But you know, there's no point in having authority if you don't exercise it. Another illustration that I use when I'm talking to the students about this is supposing an army officer, say a junior officer, is in charge of the parade of soldiers. And he gives the sergeant major the authority to command the soldiers to do whatever they're supposed to do. But that officer is telling the sergeant major what he wants. The sergeant major issues the orders and all the troops obey. Because this is the army, it's not church. So all the troops obey. But then supposing the general walks on to the parade ground. Everybody knows the general is far superior in authority to the lieutenant or the captain or whoever it is that's in charge of the parade. They can see the general. They know that whatever he says goes. But he stands there, says nothing, does nothing, and then walks off the parade ground. He had greater authority than anybody else there, but he never exercised it. So actually, there was no point in him being there. Hello? Now, you have greater authority than all the power of the evil one, according to Jesus. You have authority to be able to command any mountain to move. You have authority over sickness. It's amazing how many Christians pray and ask God to heal them instead of exercising authority over the sickness that has come against them. You see, Jesus said, not pray for the sick, but heal the sick. Heal the sick is exercising authority over the sickness. Sickness is a living thing, and you command that living thing to depart. But of course, what we need is authority in order that that sickness will indeed be overcome by the sovereign rule and reign of Christ that's being exercised in our lives. And you know, it's fine to ask others to pray for you, but asking others to pray for you is not a substitute for a failure to exercise authority over the condition of your own body and life. Are we getting this? So here are these seven very important principles. But what an amazing God that He has put these principles in your life, and He's given you the Holy Spirit who enables you to live in the good of these seven principles. It's all the work of His mercy and grace, isn't it? He's given you that position in Christ. He's made it possible for you to submit to Him and His authority, because the more you know Him, the more humble you will be before Him. And the more, the greater will be your submission to Him. When you come across proud Christians, they're not walking very close to the Lord, and they really don't know Him very well, if we're honest. Because the more you know the Lord, the more humble you are before Him, and therefore before others. He has given us this commission to pray, to speak, to act in His name. He has given us the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Word, and He's given us faith. He's put that love into our hearts so that we can lovingly obey the Word, and He is the author and perfecter of our faith, so we can believe that Word, believe what He says, and act by faith in that Word, and exercise the authority of the kingdom that He's given us and put within us. You see, the whole thing is the result of what God has given you. So He hasn't really made you a general. We don't want to claim that, do we? He's made you a field marshal. I mean, if you have authority over all the power of the evil one, nothing can withstand you. But if we don't exercise the principles of authority, then our exercise of that authority is weakened. Have we seen that? And when that is the case, we pray about things, but not with the confidence that we could have. And we speak about things, but we don't speak to things. Are you with me? We speak about the problems, we pray about the mountains, but we don't speak to them and command them. Have you noticed something about Jesus? In all that He tells His disciples to do, He never once says please. Why not? Because when you command, you don't say please, you command. I mean, can you imagine, you know, the sergeant major saying to the troops on the parade ground, please, will you come to attention? I mean, it would be laughable, wouldn't it? No, He's in a place of authority. He's commanding, attention! And they all know, woof. Yes? And they better be smart about it. Well, that's the kind of spiritual authority God wants us to have. Now listen to me, because this is important. You might recognize that there are other people that exercise greater spiritual authority than you. And therefore, sometimes you want to go to them and you want them to pray for you or to agree with you in prayer. Okay, that's fine, I understand that. But God does not want us simply to rely upon the authority of others. He wants each one of us to be developing our discipleship, because the more we develop our discipleship in these seven ways, the more we will be able to exercise authority. And the great thing about this, beloved, is you will benefit greatly. And so will many others. Because if there's more authority in the way you pray and the way you speak and the way you act and the way you witness and the way you serve, look how much more is going to happen in the lives of other people. But above all, the more you are able to exercise this authority, the more Jesus Christ is glorified in your life. Why? Because, and the Father too, because the Father is glorified by the fruit you bear. But Jesus is glorified because you're living in the way that he has made possible. You see, all these seven things glorify the Lord. Your position in Christ, your submission to him and to his will, when you fulfill your commission to speak and pray and act in his name, the anointing of the Spirit is given to you to glorify him in your life, the loving obedience to his word glorifies him, walking by faith, trusting him, glorifies him, and exercising the life, the power, and the authority of his kingdom, of his sovereign rule, glorifies him. So actually, this isn't a message that's there for those who are keen. It's a message for everybody, because everybody is supposed to be keen. Amen. So when you're, it's good to keep a little checklist like this in your Bible. And, you know, say once a week or so, when you're praying, or particularly when there's a situation, perhaps an important situation where you know there's a mountain that you have to speak to, before you do it, just go down this checklist. And just thank the Lord for your position in him. Humble yourself, submit yourself to him afresh. Thank him that what you're going to do is in his name and therefore with his authority. He knows that, but you need to remember that when you're actually be reminded of it when you're doing it. Thank him for that anointing of the Spirit. Thank him for his word. And thank him that he's worked that loving obedience to his word in your life. Thank him that he is the author and perfecter of your faith. Thank him that by hearing these things, your faith is rising actually before you speak to the mountain. And thank him that he's given you all that kingdom authority. Praise God. So I think it would be kind of neat if this morning we move some mountains. Wouldn't that be good? I mean, we don't want to just hear about it. We want to do it. Now, of course, you know, you may realize, yes, praise God, all seven of these principles are operating in my life. Hallelujah, glory to God, amen. You may feel a little bit of, you know, weakness in one or two of them. Well, that's okay. God will work that in you if you really want him to. He'll overcome that weakness, won't he? But even in your weakness, his power is made perfect. The point is that we operate according to the principles that he has put before us. So let's all stand, shall we? Now, don't worry about mountains for a minute. We're just going to engage our hearts with the Lord, then we'll come against the mountain. It doesn't take long to move a mountain. Because we don't actually have to move it. God moves it. But we have to speak to it and believe that it will be moved. Okay, so let's just focus on the Lord. Close our eyes so we're not distracted, not looking around and worrying what other people are wearing. And first of all, thank the Lord for your position in Christ. That God has taken hold of your life and put you in Christ Jesus. So you don't just pray to him, you pray in him, at one with him. So thank you, Lord, for my place in Christ. Thank you that through your mercy and grace, you have forgiven my sins, taken hold of my life, and put me into Christ, into the true vine, that I'm a branch of that vine. And thank you that as I pray this morning, I pray as one who is in Christ. Now let's submit ourselves afresh to him. So Lord, I thank you, you are my Lord. And I recognize your authority over my life. That you have the absolute right to do with me as you please, because you purchased me for God with your precious blood. And I thank you, Lord, that you have your will, your plan, your purpose for my life, and I submit to your authority and to your will, and therefore to your word, so that your purpose will be fulfilled in my life. And even this morning as I pray, I submit myself afresh to you. Be Lord in all the circumstances of my life. Now thank the Lord that he's called you, he's chosen you, and he's commissioned you to pray in his name, to speak in his name, to act in his name. That is, to pray, speak, act on his behalf as if he's doing it himself with his authority. He hasn't given you a check, but he's given you his word. And you can speak that word with authority into every situation and over the situations where there are mountains that need to be moved. So thank the Lord. Lord, I thank you that you have called me, you've chosen me, you've given me your commission to pray in your name. And you've promised that you will do whatever I ask in your name. Thank you, Lord, that you've called me to speak in your name, that I can speak the truth to others and see them set free because I speak in your name. Thank you, Lord, I can act in your name, that when I do what you're commanding me to do, things always work out for the best. So I praise you, Lord, that I can pray and speak and act in your name. Now thank you, Lord, for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. I bless you, Lord. I praise you. I thank you that you have given me that anointing, and that anointing remains. It abides within me. And I give you glory and honor and praise for that. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, therefore, that I can use that anointing and the power and authority of that anointing in every situation in which you place me. Thank you that your word says that I have that anointing from the Holy One, and that anointing remains. Thank you that you never take it away. And thank you that you always want me to function in the good of that anointing. Praise your holy name, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that I can continue to live in him and to continue to live in your love out of my obedience to you, just as you continue to live at one with the Father out of your love for him. So I thank you, Lord, that by your grace and mercy, I live today in loving obedience to your word. And thank you that when I pray according to your word. I pray according to your promises, that when I speak your word over my life, I do good and glorify you, because that which I speak over my life, I place my life under those words. And thank you, Lord, that I can speak your word into the situations in the lives of others. I can speak your word right in the face of those mountains of opposition and need, and see them moved because of the power and authority of your word. And I thank you, Lord, for the gift of faith. I thank you that you are the author and perfecter of my faith. Thank you, Lord, for the faith that you've already worked in me. Lord, I want you to continue to work more and more faith, that as I hear your word, faith will rise up within me. Thank you, Lord, that faith is rising up within me this morning, that each one of us is going to leave this room with a greater release of faith than when we came here this morning, because we've heard your word and we're exercising your authority in your name and for your glory. And thank you, Lord, for the gift of your kingdom. Thank you that your kingdom is within me. Your sovereign rule, your sovereign reign is within me. And thank you that your kingdom has authority over all that the world can do. That your kingdom is not of this world, but it is higher than this world. It is greater than this world. And the things of this world can be moved and changed and altered as the authority and the power, sovereign power of your kingdom is exercised. So, Lord, I thank you for these seven principles that are operating in our lives. I thank you, Lord, that we can pray now, we can speak to those mountains in the good of all this, and those mountains shall be moved. And we praise you, Lord. We bless you. Come on, let's just exalt him. Just praise him. Bless you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Okay, now just speak to that mountain. Don't speak about the mountain. Don't start talking to the Lord about the mountain. He knows more about that mountain than you do. You don't have to tell him about it. Just speak to it now, whatever it is. Command it. Jesus says, command it to be moved. Huh? See, go. Throw yourself into the sea. That's a command. Now, don't just use those words, but you just command that need to be lost. Everybody's been searching for a plane that fell into the sea. Well, do you know all your obstacles are like that plane? Just goes into the sea, but actually nobody will ever be able to find it. Not your problem, because it's lost forever. Are you speaking to it right now? Speak to that mountain. And then Jesus says, and whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. So once you've spoken to the mountain, thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that mountain is removed. Thank you that that obstacle is overcome. Thank you that that problem cannot persist. Thank you that that sickness or that need in my physical body is not going to continue. Thank you, Lord, that this obstacle is overcome, this need is met, and I give you all the glory and I give you all the honor. I believe that I've received it. I believe that that obstacle is defeated. I believe, Lord, that you have undertaken now and you will fulfill your word of promise, and it shall be no more, and I shall be free of it in the name of Jesus. Praise your holy name. Come on, let's thank him. Thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him. Praise you, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Wonderful, wonderful Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, do it every day. And don't just wait for your prayer time to do it. If these principles are operating in your life, you know when those thoughts come, those negative thoughts, destructive thoughts, jealous, critical, rebellious, lustful, whatever they are, when those thoughts come that God didn't give you and that you don't want, tell them where to go. Yes. Because that's the enemy trying to stir up and rob you of your confidence, isn't it? So you say, get away from me. Get out. Those thoughts don't belong to me. Amen? You see, the devil is a nasty bit of work. He fires those fiery darts, those wrong thoughts, and then blames you for having them. No. We resist all those things in the name of Jesus, and we overcome them. Amen? Come on, let's give him great thanks. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.